this isn't some fluffy feel-good spiel. I'm talking about flipping the script on tired, outdated norms and building teams that actually thrive. I want to talk about how companies that dare to embrace strange ideas, bold collaboration, and real communication are absolutely crushing it, and why you're falling behind if you're still clinging to some old ways. I'm Wayne Robertson, and today I'm diving headfirst into a topic that's going to shake up everything you thought you knew about leadership and teamwork: the explosive power of involvement, and why it's time to torch the old playbook for good. No excuses, no fluff, just real talk and strategies that work. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly how to create a team where every voice is heard, every idea has a shot, and every project hits harder and faster than ever before. So, if you're ready to burn the rule book and unleash your team's full potential, strap in. It's time to disrupt, dominate, and do things differently. And the following story is fictional because I don't have the permissions to tell actual experiences I've had working in many different projects, but it does illustrate the issue we need to cover today. This is the story of Noah, a seasoned project manager who faced a tremendous challenge that demanded a fresh approach to project management. His task was to lead the Fusion project, which is a complex high-stakes software initiative at a cutting-edge tech company. But the usual rules and methods simply wouldn't work this time. So, instead of following tradition, Noah developed new ways of thinking and planning, all while prioritizing his team members' strengths, ideas, and well-being. So let's look at how that happened. Noah had been with the company for over a decade, and he was known for his structured and organized approach to project management. And when he was assigned to the Fusion project, he thought he'd apply his tried and true methods, precise timelines, detailed roadmaps, and strict workflows. But Fusion wasn't like any other project he'd worked on. This time, he was tasked with leading a team to develop an AI-powered software platform that could adapt and personalize itself for a wide range of users across various industries, something that had never been done at this scale. So from the start, Noah encountered challenges that the usual playbook couldn't solve. The complexity and the scale of Fusion required constant adaptability, rapid problem solving, and innovative thinking. He quickly saw that his traditional methods were stifling creativity and flexibility. Progress was sluggish, team members were frustrated, and it felt like they were building a plane while flying it. And so Noah realized he needed a completely new approach, and he decided to break the mold and develop a strategy that was just as adaptable as the software they were trying to build. And that strategy started with one key focus: putting each team member first. So the first step that Noah took was to embrace flexible planning. So in the past, he'd been a stickler for deadlines and detailed project phases, but he saw that these rigid timelines weren't feasible for Fusion. So he introduced dynamic planning. So rather than create a single fixed roadmap, Noah set up a flexible framework that allowed the team to adjust priorities as they went along. They met at the start of each week to reevaluate the project status, discuss any roadblocks, and then decide where to focus their efforts. And this dynamic approach relieved pressure on the team and allowed them to respond quickly to unforeseen challenges. It also gave them the freedom to pursue new ideas and pivot when necessary without feeling trapped by the original plan. So, by staying agile, Noah's team could approach problems with a fresh perspective, exploring solutions they might have otherwise overlooked. Noah's next big shift was to restructure the roles based on individual strengths and interests. Now, traditionally, each team member had a set role with a specific responsibility, but this fusion project demanded a more adaptive approach. So Noah took time to understand each team member's unique skills and their passions. He held one-on-one meetings to get a sense of what each person brought to the table and where they felt they could add their most value. From these conversations, he developed a strengths-based team structure, and instead of assigning tasks strictly by job title, he allocated work based on what people were naturally skilled at and enthusiastic about. For example, Sarah, a developer with a background in machine learning, was given the freedom to lead the AI integration, while Liam, who had a knack for UX design, took charge of creating user-friendly interfaces. By tapping into each person's strengths and interests, Noah created a team that felt empowered and engaged. The team members were excited to tackle their tasks because they were doing what they loved, and because they were working in areas where they excelled, productivity and creativity soared. But one of the most innovative changes that Noah introduced was a culture of experimentation. Well, you see, Fusion was a project filled with unknowns, and Noah knew that they'd never get it right by playing it safe. So to encourage experimentation, he created what he called test labs, time set aside each week for team members to explore their ideas without the pressure of deadlines or deliverables. And this lab time allowed them to take risks, test new solutions, and think outside the box. And to make it even more effective, Noah set up a fail-fast, learn-faster framework that if an idea didn't work, they would analyze it quickly, learn from it, and move on. And this approach took the fear out of failure and made it a natural part of the process, which is so critical. So by reframing failure as a learning opportunity, Noah encouraged his team to innovate freely, leading to breakthroughs they wouldn't have achieved under a more conservative approach. The results of this experimentation culture were astounding. One of the test labs resulted in a new, more efficient algorithm for data processing that saved them weeks of development time. Another experiment led to user interface improvements that made the platform significantly more intuitive for end users. So, by giving his team room to experiment, Noah unlocked a level of creativity that moved Fusion forward in leaps and bounds. He also prioritized team well-being and work-life balance. He understood that Fusion was a marathon, not a sprint. And if he wanted his team to perform at their best, he needed to protect them from burnout. So he introduced Wellness Wednesdays, where the team could take an afternoon off to recharge, whether that meant attending a wellness workshop, spending time outdoors, or simply resting. He also discouraged late-night emails and after-hours work, setting an example by keeping his own work hours within limits. So by setting these boundaries, Noah created an environment where his team felt respected and valued as people, not just as workers. And this respect translated into a renewed sense of commitment and energy, as team members felt they could give their best without sacrificing their personal lives. Another critical component of the new approach was open communication and psychological safety. Now, Noah wanted his team to feel they could voice any concern, question, or idea without fear of judgment. And to build this trust, he introduced open forums once a week, where the team could openly discuss anything related to the project, whether it was a new idea, a challenge, or constructive feedback on his leadership. In these forums, Noah encouraged honest dialogue and made a point of showing vulnerability himself. He acknowledged when he didn't have all the answers and welcomed suggestions from his team. This openness create a space where team members felt comfortable bringing up the potential issues early, which allowed them to address roadblocks proactively rather than letting the problems fester. One day during an open forum, a junior developer named Elsa voiced a concern about a coding process that was slowing down progress. Under previous leadership, she might have hesitated to speak up, but Noah's encouragement of open dialogue gave her confidence. Her suggestion led to a workflow improvement that cut down development time significantly, and her proactive input became a model for others to share their insights as well. And as the project progressed, Noah knew it was essential to recognize and celebrate every success, big or small. He didn't wait until the project's end to celebrate. Instead, he celebrated each milestone, breakthrough, and innovation as it happened. When the team developed a new AI feature or improved user interface, Noah made sure to acknowledge the hard work that went into it. And these celebrations were often simple, but meaningful. Sometimes it was a round of applause at the end of a meeting. Other times he'd take the team out for lunch or maybe organize a virtual happy hour. By celebrating these wins, Noah reminded his team of the progress they were making, and that kept morale high. He also introduced impact moments where he would share positive feedback from stakeholders or potential users. Hearing firsthand how their work was making a difference added a sense of purpose and motivated the team to keep pushing forward, knowing that their contributions were genuinely valued. So from the start, Noah knew that Project Fusion was unlike anything he had led before. It was ambitious, technically complex, and required a whole new level of adaptability. By putting his team's strengths, well-being, and growth at the center, Noah didn't just lead a successful project. He created a culture of trust, creativity, and resilience. His story is a powerful reminder that success often lies in prioritizing people, not just the end project. If you're a project manager or team leader in upper management, think about how you can implement some of these strategies. Could focusing on flexibility, personal growth, and open communication transform your team's performance? Sometimes the key to success isn't in traditional methods. It's in creating a team culture where people feel valued, trusted, and empowered. And Noah's story shows us that sometimes the traditional playbook doesn't make it. By embracing dynamic planning, restructuring roles based on strengths, fostering a culture of experimentation, and prioritizing well-being, promoting open communication, and celebrating each step forward, he didn't just lead Project Fusion to success, he built a resilient, innovative, and motivated team. And thanks to Noah's people-first approach, Project Fusion became a groundbreaking product in the industry. The platform not only met its technical goals, but also exceeded expectations, winning praise from users and stakeholders alike. The project became a model for others in the company, and Noah's methods were soon adopted across the teams as a new standard of leadership. So think about how you can adapt your approach to put your team members first and create an environment where they can thrive. And sometimes stepping away from some of the rules and focusing on the people behind the project is the key to achieving extraordinary success. In the world of project management, traditional methods often rely on a top-down approach. A few key players call the shots while the rest of the team follows orders. But what if there was a better way? One that not only boosts productivity, but also fosters innovation and job satisfaction. And that's what I want to discuss. So let's start with defining what it means by burning the rule book. I am not advocating chaos and anarchy. Not at all. Instead, I'm talking about throwing out outdated practices that stifle creativity and limit the potential of your team. Because traditional project management sometimes operated on a rigid hierarchy and strict protocol. But in a rapidly changing world, flexibility and adaptability are the key, and that's where the team inclusion comes in. Team inclusion means involving every team member in the decision-making process, regardless of their role or title. It's about leveraging the collective intelligence of the group to drive the project forward. And this approach values diverse perspectives and fosters a sense of ownership and accountability among all team members. So let's take a software development project as an example. In a traditional setup, the project manager and a few senior developers might create the project plan and then assign tasks to the rest of the team. In an inclusive approach, however, the entire team would be involved in the planning phase. Each member would contribute their insights and ideas, which often leads to more comprehensive and a realistic project plan. This not only increases the buy-in from the team, but it also surfaces potential issues and innovative solutions early on. So, when team members are included in the planning and decision-making process, they have a better understanding of the project's goals and constraints. This clarity helps prevent misunderstandings, and it also ensures that everyone is aligned. Plus, when people feel their contributions are valued, they are more likely to be motivated and engaged. And I know that sounds very basic, but it's not done as much as we'd like it to. So one of the main challenges is that it can be time-consuming. Involving the entire team in discussions and decisions can slow things down initially. However, this upfront investment in time often pays off later by reducing rework and enhancing the overall quality of the project. Another challenge is managing differing opinions. It is crucial to have a strong facilitator who can navigate these discussions and ensure that everyone's voice is heard without letting the process become chaotic. So, here are some practical steps that you can take to start implementing this inclusive approach. Start small. Begin by involving your team in the early stages of the next project. Hold brainstorming sessions and encourage everyone to share their ideas. Use some collaborative tools like Microsoft Teams to capture and organize input. Make sure to create an environment where team members feel safe to speak up. And over time, as your team becomes more comfortable with this process, you can gradually expand their involvement. So in today's fast-paced and complex world, no single person can have all the answers. So by including the whole team, you tap into a wealth of knowledge and creativity that will drive your project to new heights. It's not just about getting things done. It's about doing them better and smarter. Now, in the realm of technical projects, striking the right balance between following rules and adapting to project-specific needs is crucial and hard. Yet often, technical teams might fall into the trap of rigidly adhering to the set of rules and processes, potentially leading to inefficiencies and maybe even project failure. So I want to explore how slavish devotion to the rulebook can cause troubles in projects, and let's talk about some ways to overcome them. Because rules and guidelines are essential in any project to ensure structure, compliance, and consistency. They provide framework in which teams can operate efficiently. In technical projects, where specifics can get incredibly complex, these rules help in managing the intricate parts seamlessly. So, one of the troubles of over-adherence to rules is innovation stifling. When teams follow rules too rigidly, there's a significant risk of stifling creativity. Innovation often requires thinking outside the box, which can be constrained by a strict adherence to existing rules. Projects rarely go exactly as planned, and over-adherence to rules can lead to lack of flexibility, making it difficult for teams to adapt to the changes and unexpected issues that always arise. and thereby increasing the likelihood of project delays or failures. Another problem is misalignment with project goals. Sometimes the rules might not perfectly align with the project's objectives. Teams that follow such rules without considering their applicability might end up achieving benchmarks that do not actually contribute to the project's success. Also, decreased morale and engagement. Strict rule following can make a team members feel like their expertise and their judgment aren't valued, leading to decreased morale and engagement. And that can massively negatively impact productivity and the quality of work. So, how can teams be encouraged to interpret and apply the rules? There's a lot of discussions that can go around that. And while rules are an essential part of project management, especially in some technical fields, it's crucial to approach them with a mindset that allows for flexibility and adaptation. Encouraging open discussions, empowering team members to make informed decisions, and regularly reviewing the set rules can help in managing this delicate balance. One of the ways that I achieve this is when I flip the normal organization pyramid on its head, and I put the working team at the top. In my over 36 years of working in projects, this was one of the most useful things that the team came up with. They were the ones doing the work. I was just there to help and coordinate things. And so the standard project leadership shows the management at the top of the team pyramid. But when I pondered this, the most important people are those that are normally down at the bottom. And those are the people that are actually doing the hands-on work. So by flipping the pyramid, the most important team members that are doing the work are on the top. And my job as a project leader was to support and take care of the team members and make sure they can get the work done. That was so important. And here's some things to remember. Manage individuals, not numbers. Conventional business thinking is that what's important is slicing and dicing the numbers and putting the numbers into graphs and talking about where the numbers are and where they ought to be. But the numbers are the result of how well you manage people, not how well you manage numbers. And the only way to get better numbers, regardless of your measurement scheme, is to improve the performance of the individuals who work for you. And so, despite the popularity of the phrase, in fact, it's impossible to manage people. You can only manage individuals. And since everyone is unique, there is no one-size-fits-all management style. So, therefore, as you explain exactly what you want from each employee, actively solicit each employee's suggestions and ideas on how you can get the best possible work from that person. If you ask properly enough, they will tell you. And while your main focus needs to be individuals rather than numbers, you still need a way to measure how well those individuals are doing. Complex measurement schemes with multiple metrics, and we've all seen that, create confusion among employees and managers alike. So, ideally, what's being measured should be simple enough for every employee to understand at a glance and relate as closely as possible to the behaviors that you're trying to encourage. If the work doesn't affect the metrics, metrics are a waste of time. I once received an email from a boss who assigned multiple tasks and insisted each one was a huge priority. That didn't work. When you're doing a priority, you have to identify 1, 2, and 3, etc. You can't say they're all top priority. That'll drive your team buggy. Also, there are bad days. Let's discuss bad days. When you explode with your temper at an employee, or you make a cutting or hurtful remark, and who of us hasn't, it creates a wound that never heals completely, and that festers with secret resentment. You don't have to be perfect, but your employees are not punching bags. Employees despise bosses who are so emotionally weak they have to dump their anger and frustration onto others. By contrast, employees deeply appreciate a boss who remains calm in a crisis. Now, here's something unique I think is really helpful. Managers often use their top performers as a measure of how successful they are as leaders. However, while you may have a top performer on your team, that success is more likely to reflect their drive and ability rather than anything you've done. Here's a better idea. Measure your management ability on the basis of how you handle your worst performers. It's those employees who define the lowest level of performance that you're willing to tolerate and how much you expect other employees to compensate for your low standards. You can help each one of them. So be generous. Being generous is not just about money. It's also about how you treat people. Because smart bosses know their real job is to fix the failures before they happen. Publicize the wins employees achieve. And important, take the heat when things go wrong. Now, money is what employees expect from their jobs, not their bosses. And employees want bosses to be generous with information, with time, with praise, and with coaching that teaches employees how to do their jobs better. Now, many bosses wrongly believe their job is to be the expert and know all the answers. However, when managers provide all the answers, they rob the employees of the opportunity to think. And while experience has value, people can't learn when wisdom is presented on a platter and forced down their throats. Employees respect bosses who admit they don't know everything and ask questions that help spark an employee's own creativity. Now, here's something that's a big problem, and I will admit to having done this sometimes. We're human. You're going to like some of your employees better than others. But even so, you can't let those personal preferences become an excuse for treating those you like differently from those you don't. And here's the problem. If you play favorites, everyone sees it. It is no secret. And it demoralizes the other employees because they know that their best work won't count for as much. In addition, playing a favorite creates a lot of hostility towards that favorite. So if you remember from school, the teacher's pet usually got clobbered on the playground. It wasn't good. Now, as a manager, you want your employees to watch out for your interests, help you be successful, and not leave you in the lurch the second they find a better job. In other words, you want loyalty. However, loyalty doesn't come automatically. It must be earned. You can only expect employees to be loyal to you if you're willing to be first loyal to them. That means watching out for their interests, helping them be successful, keeping them on board even if you can hire someone else for less. And also, it's important to be transparent. Some bosses play their cards close to the chest and never let employees in on the decision-making process. By contrast, smart bosses know that decisions are more successful when those tasked with their implementation are involved from the start. A boss who disappears into their office, makes a decision, and then emerges with a set of commands leaves the impression that the decision is arbitrary. And even if they don't like a decision, employees far prefer to understand the workings of the boss's mind and exactly how that decision was made. And some bosses are so risk-averse, they require a mountain of information before making any decision. But smart bosses these days, on the other hand, understand there's a point, and it usually comes fairly quickly, at which additional information merely muddies the waters. Obsessing and second-guessing your decision-making is always a waste of time. You're better off making a good enough decision than waiting for an imaginary perfect decision to emerge from a real-world situation, which of course never happens. So here's some takeaways on this whole process. Manage individuals, not numbers. Adapt your style to each person. Measure what's truly relevant. Only one priority per person. Stay even-tempered. Take responsibility for your low performers. Share your thoughts and ideas. Ask questions rather than providing answers. Treat everyone as equally as possible. Don't expect more than you're willing to give. Explain the reasoning behind your decisions. And don't delay. Decide now. Do that, and I can guarantee you, you will have a much better outcome. And just like that, we're at the end of another episode of Ignoring the Rules. And today, I've turned the project management playbook upside down, tossing out some of the old rules, like last year's outdated software. Because remember, in the world of innovation, being a rebel can sometimes be your ticket to success or disaster. So why follow the path when you can pave a new one with a few well-placed explosives of creativity and daring? And there's classic missteps of sticking too rigidly to the rules, but there's some stories from those who dare to defy the standard protocols and discover that sometimes the best way to achieve success is to color outside the lines or erase the lines completely. So that's a wrap on today's episode. I hope you've been inspired to rethink your approach to projects and consider the powerful impact of including the whole team. Please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest new episodes and additional information about the new world of getting projects done. And I also welcome comments about the podcast episodes and subjects you'd like to see in future episodes. I don't have all the answers. And so I'm always happy to see your comments and information because we are all in this together. And the more we share information, the better we all will be. So let us all know what you found that works in your projects. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.